Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah 49. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7, and it's found on page 629 of your Pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. Listen to me, O coastlands, and hearken, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Our epistle reading will come from 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and we'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and it's found on page 991 of your Pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of John this morning. We'll be reading from the first chapter of John's Gospel. And we'll be reading from verse 29 till to verse 42. It is found on page 922. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two heard John speak and followed him, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. This is the word of the Lord. I don't particularly like shopping at all. But I was in one of my favorite retail stores the other day, killing some time before a meeting. It must have been a slow day in this retail outlet because there was no one there. And as I walked into the store, a helpful salesperson immediately asked, "How can I help you?" "Oh, I'm just looking," I replied. "Well, go ahead," he said. "My name is Mel. If you need any help, just let me know." "Thanks," I said, being glad to be left alone. But as I made my way around the store, I noticed that Mel was never too far away, straightening and folding and keeping an eye out just in case I needed some help. There were some items that were on sale that caught my attention, and so I went over and started browsing, and suddenly, there was Mel. "What are you looking for?" he asked. "Nothing," I said. "Really, I'm just browsing. Just looking, just browsing." "Well," he said, "it looks like you're looking for something to me." And I was tempted to say, "What I'm looking for is to be left alone." But I didn't. I realized that he was just trying to help me, to assist me in whatever search that I had. The season after Christmas is known as the season of Epiphany. Like Advent and Lent, Epiphany is not a word that we use a whole lot outside of the church. And to tell you the truth, we don't use it all that much inside of the church either. But the season of Epiphany is an important season because Epiphany is about discovery. It is about the revelation and manifestation of the light, the one true light that is broken into our world in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The New Testament is filled with epiphanies, particularly as they surround the life of Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, the star that is seen by the wise men in the east is an epiphany. It is a sudden revelation that leads the wise men in the discovery of the Christ child. The same is true with the Lord's baptism. We are told that when Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens are opened and a divine voice declares him to be the beloved Son of God. It's an epiphany, a sudden revelation letting us know that Jesus is not just some ordinary seeker down by the riverside hoping to be baptized, but he is the beloved Son of God. And our gospel lesson this morning is also an epiphany. But this time it comes from John the Baptist. John, as we read earlier, saw the Holy Spirit come down and alight on Jesus. And John testifies and reveals for us who Jesus is. Jesus, he says, is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He is, in other words, the one that all of Israel has been waiting for. Indeed, the whole world has been waiting for. It is an epiphany, a sudden revelation of the identity of Jesus. And so when two of John's disciples hear it, they leave John and start to follow Jesus. Makes sense. If Jesus is the one that John says he is, the one that everyone has been looking for, if he is the Son of God, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, then it makes sense to follow him. And so two of John's disciples turn and start to follow Jesus. And if I were Jesus, I think I would be thrilled that these two disciples of John the Baptist have now decided to start following me. We sometimes in the church are like that. We are so thrilled to have people to join the church that we are tempted sometimes to make it easy and not ask any of the hard questions, but not Jesus. Jesus knows that there is too much at stake. And so it is here at this point that he turns around and he asks them the question, what are you looking for? It's a good question. All of us are looking for something. It's the way that we are created as human beings. We all have this longing deep down inside of ourselves for something, something ultimate, something fulfilling, something purposeful, something meaningful. We try sometimes to satisfy that deep longing with all kinds of things, sometimes with relationships, sometimes with consumer goods, sometimes with prestige and status, with all kinds of things. We try to feel that deep hole, that deep emptiness, that longing deep inside of our hearts. And sometimes it works, at least for a little while. We might feel fulfilled, but sooner or later we realize that it's not enough. Sooner or later, we start looking again. We want more. More relationships, more consumer stuff, more prestige, more status, more. We're never quite satisfied because what we are longing for is God. We are creatures made in the image of God. We are creatures who were made to glorify God, and God is who we are looking for, whether we realize it or not. As Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O God. And so the Lord's question is a good one, whoever we are, regardless of who we are, because it is an invitation for us to look deep down inside of our hearts and to acknowledge the emptiness and the deep longing that are at the center of our lives. It's an invitation for us to acknowledge our need for God, the God who created us human beings to worship him and glorify him and enjoy him forever, in the words of the Westminster Catechism. But notice this morning that the Lord's question is not directed towards everyone, but it's directed towards all of us. It's directed towards you and me. We, after all, are the ones who have heard the testimony of John the Baptist. We are the ones who have received the epiphany. We know who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And we are the ones who have turned our lives around to follow him. But Jesus wants to know what it is we are looking for. What are we expecting of him? There are a lot of people, of course, who expend a great deal of time and energy and resources trying to find out what it is we're looking for. Usually, they want to sell us something, so they want to know what it is we're looking for, what it is we think we need, and so they try to sell us something, either consumer goods or sometimes even themselves. Every 4 years, we elect a political messiah, someone that we pledge to follow, and we are often looking for certain things from them. Some years we are looking for hope and change. Other years we are looking for someone who will perhaps make America great again, someone who will protect us and wall out our enemies. But our political leaders almost always fall short, not just because of who they are, but also because of who we are. You see, we are looking for something, and we often look for it in all the wrong places and in all the wrong people. But Jesus this morning wants to make sure that we know what it is that we're looking for, and so he asks us, what are you looking for? What are you all looking for? It is a question not unlike the one in our synoptic gospels. You'll perhaps remember that Jesus also asked the question of two of his disciples at that time, James and John. He asked them, what is it that you want me to do for you? And they're ready. They know what they want. They say, Rabbi, we want the places of honor when you enter into your glory, when you enter into your kingdom. We want to be on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of you when you come into your glory. And Jesus, in effect, tells them, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to be able to drink? And they says, yes, we can drink the cup. And Jesus says, yes, indeed, you will drink the cup, but still, I cannot grant you what you desire because those positions have already been given by God. And indeed, they had. Because when Jesus enters into his glory, the point in which Jesus enters into his glory is that point when he is hanging on the cross, crucified on the cross, and the people who are on the left side and the right side of him are those who are being crucified with him. Jesus, the Lamb of God. James and John there do not quite understand the nature of what it means to be the Messiah or the nature of the kingdom. But the very first question that Jesus asked in John's gospel, the very first words, in fact, that he utters is, what are you looking for? I imagine that the two disciples of John were looking for a lot of the things that we are looking for this morning. Perhaps they were looking for community. That's important in a world of rabid individualism in which it's so difficult for us to find community. I'm sure they were looking for peace in a world that is often beguiled with conflict and strife. I'm sure they were looking for healing, perhaps physical healing, psychological healing. They were looking for words of comfort in a world that often causes us to be anxious. They were looking for salvation, which is what we all are looking for, salvation. We are looking for someone to save us. They were looking for hope and change. They were looking for someone who would make Israel great again. They were looking for all of those things, and Jesus is all of those things. He would be the one that brings all of those things. But if they were looking for a warrior king, if they were looking for a powerful business mogul, someone who would outshout their enemies and wall out the undesirables, if That's what they were looking for. Jesus wanted them to know that they were looking in the wrong place, that they were following the wrong kinds of Messiah. Because the way that Jesus would bring salvation would be by becoming the suffering servant. A servant. Someone who was called to be the light of the world. Not by destroying God's enemies, but by loving them. A servant. That word doesn't sound very appealing to many of us, even though we often call our leaders servants. When we look to follow someone, we have certain traits in mind, certain attributes. But Jesus comes to be the servant, the suffering servant that Isaiah talked about in our passage from the Old Testament this morning. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann notes that Jesus appears as the Lamb of God, the one offered as a valuable sacrifice. And by the end of John's passage, the Lamb is recognized as the awaited Messiah, the one who will enact all the ancient expectations of Israel. The twinning of Lamb and Messiah evidences the way in which Jesus from the outset is seen as power in weakness, as authority in vulnerability, the newness that will confound the authorities of the world and make newness possible. A servant. That's not just what Jesus came to be. It's what he calls all of us who will follow him to be as well. The servant. We ordained the leaders of our church this morning, the incoming class, and they will be servants. Many of them have already served before, and they know, like the prophet in our reading, Old Testament reading, that sometimes being a servant is not easy. But it's what they have been called to be, and it's what all of us as God's people, as the church, are called to be as well. The servant. The servant of God. The Lamb of God. Someone who loves the world so much that he is willing to sacrifice himself in the service of our redemption. But Jesus wants to know, what are we looking for? We who are called to follow him. Andrew, one of the disciples of John, doesn't have a whole lot to say in the Gospels. He's one of those silent disciples. But I think he speaks for all of us this morning when he says, Rabbi, we want to know where you stay. We want to know where you live. We want to know where you abide. That's what we're looking for. We want to know where you stay. And he's not asking for Jesus' address here. What he's asking for is for someone to show him the way home. Show us where you live. Show us what you are all about. Show us your nature. Show us your heart. Show us who you really are. It's at home where people come to know who we really are. And that's what Andrew is asking Jesus. Show us who you really are. Show us your heart. And Jesus tells him, come and see. Come and see where I stay. We're not sure what happens when Andrew gets there, but we imagine that he sees Jesus' heart. He sees who Jesus is. He sees that Jesus is the servant the servant of God, the servant who loves humanity enough to give his life for all of us. And that's what we are called to be as well, the servant. Because that's what we are looking for too. We're looking for someone to show us what it means to be human. We're looking for someone to show us what it means to be creatures made in the image of God. We're looking for someone to show us what it means to glorify God with our very lives. And that's part of the epiphany, the revelation, the manifestation of this text. The epiphany is, what does it mean for us to be human? That's what we're all looking for. What does it mean to really be a human being made in the image of God? And Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. Come and see as I show you what it is you're really looking for, what it is you're really longing for. Come and see as I show you what it really means to be a human being, what it really means to be made in the image of God. To be made in the image of God is not having lots and lots of money. To be made in the image of God is not being able to tell other people what to do. To be made in the image of God is not being able to bully other people. To be made in the image of God is not to have lots and lots of power. To be made in the image of God is not to belittle other people. To be made in the image of God is to look like Jesus. It is to be the servant of all. It is to love one another. To love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. And to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if we do that, we will be shining the light of God's salvation in the midst of our darkened world. That's what I think we're all looking for. We're looking for someone to show us what it means to be the light shining in the midst of our world. What are you looking for? What do you want? Why are you following Jesus? Hopefully, it is because you have heard his call to be the servant of God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us in this season of Epiphany to indeed be the light shining in the midst of this world. We ask that you help us to indeed shine by serving others and by serving you. Help us in our quest to feel that deep longing inside of our heart. Help us to know what it means to glorify God and to be made in the image of God. Give us your heart, the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the heart of a servant, because that's what it means to be a human being who is called by you and who is committed to following you wherever you take us. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.